This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. Cool. Oh, that's sweet. Pretty cool. This is very dope to come back to this artistic vibe still going on. Wow.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
They're just cool. Like, they're cool. You rip them. There's nothing cooler than blowing a fat cloud like that. They call me the Colossus of Cloud. It helps my swag. It helps my drip. I just love walking around. It's really good for getting chicks, too.
I wish he'd kiss me.
So without further ado, I don't want a gigantic round of applause for them. Just the kind of obligatory, well, I guess we're supposed to clap at this point because he told us to.
And now.
Do you like my mustache?
Wear a helmet, honey.
First of all, do you like my mustache?
No, that's a hard no.
Do you like my mustache?
No, you look like Super Trooper that became a pedophile, dude.
Our feature presentation.
It's pretty accurate. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 12th of December.
What happened to Muggs' sweet mustache? He just gave up on it? Just abandoned it and shaved it all off?
He never really was all in.
It was so great.
Pretty good mustache.
I think the scientific survey kind of sent him over the edge.
Mm. Oh, was the conclusion that ladies don't love mustaches?
Yes. It was close, though. Scarily close.
Also, he wanted to get the scent off him from the police. Because I assume there was like a picture in a police
That's
station.
That's a good point.
Don't trust this man and had a mustache. And,
He did look like the suspect in every police sketch artist drawing. Yeah. That was on the news. Right. Jensen, what's the holiday sweater you're wearing today?
I am wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin ugly Christmas sweater. Mm-hmm. I was sent it by Foot Locker.
That's pretty sweet.
And I said to myself, I'm only going to wear it once. And this was that day.
It's pretty strong.
Eventually, there'll be a picture up on the Twitter or
That's
something.
That's fantastic. So good. Yeah. Kevin, you strike me as somebody who doesn't own a single ugly Christmas sweater.
I don't think I do.
Do they come in shorts? Do they have ugly Christmas shorts?
I don't think I do.
Yeah, you don't seem like the ugly Christmas sweater guy. I got a couple. I got an awesome fruitcake Christmas sweater. I think I wore it to Acoustic Christmas 1 year. I've got a Seahawks ugly Christmas sweater. Those were very popular. Remember a couple years ago, all the NFL franchises got them. They were real popular.
On the front, they said, why didn't they just hand it to Marshawn?
You know, at some point, that you have to
Do I, though?
To let that, yes, you do.
Do I?
I have a Taylor Swift ugly Christmas sweater.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a...
Less from you. What about Allie?
Oh, I gave him a fruitcake ugly Christmas sweater.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
Do you have any?
No, they're awful.
Well, of course they're all. That's what they fun.
That's the
I'm
point.
I'm kidding.
This is my first one ever.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're designed by a guy named Mosh. I was sent a whole explanation of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the one time I'll wear it ever.
It's pretty sweet.
I think it's good.
They've really stepped it up. It used to be they were just ugly and that's why you wore it. And now they're kind of cool.
And I've gotten used to the design, so it's not ugly anymore. You know how it's like... it's like looks kind of 8-bit digital.
Yeah,
and then there's
no shame in that sweater, dude. That sweater looks fine on you.
But just to correct, it's still ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though you may have gotten used to it.
It's ugly, though. Like
and it's wonderful.
Like a pug is ugly, though, which is it's ugly, but that also means adorable.
Like how Steve Buscemi is ugly. You know what I mean? Like, he's ugly, but like, he's Steve Buscemi.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was with the pug reference, but I'm not sure about Buscemi.
All right.
I got invited by a neighbor to an ugly Christmas sweater party on Saturday night.
You're all about that.
I did not attend.
I was surprised.
No. Hey, make a note of this in the new year. We have to revisit this topic. I think we did a phone topic not long ago about somebody called the police on you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did that also involve some mistaken identities? Was there some of that? Like the police showed up and they thought it was the right house and it wasn't or something?
I don't think so,
but I think we've done that topic a long, long time ago.
I think we need to do mistaken identity again, where somebody thought you were somebody and came after you or whatever. This is a story I saw on the local news here, my local news, last night in New Orleans about a man named Will Murray, whose car was just, I guess it looked like someone else's car, but he walked outside and it was not a good thing.
Placing the tarp on his damaged car.
Could only happen to me. That's the first thing I thought.
Will Murray still can't believe this.
The dispatcher thought it was pretty humorous, which I thought it was pretty humorous too.
It sounds like something straight out of a love drama, but...
You ever heard it described as a love drama before?
No.
Oh, my favorite love drama is The Notebook.
Love drama. Left me scratching my head.
It's his reality.
It was pretty brutal.
Two broken windows, two slashed tires, and a nasty note.
Two broken windows.
Wow.
Two slashed tires and a note. Wait till you hear what the note said.
From a stranger.
I guess it was a case of mistaken identity where a woman thought that I was her husband or boyfriend's side piece, I guess you would say.
Last Friday, Murray walked outside to his parked car on Bank Street in South Bernadette around 11 a.m. and noticed this damage.
The note was slid right here, almost like a parking ticket. It was three pages.
In those three pages.
Three pages?
Three pages,
he
by the way.
A lot to say.
What?
Tolstoy?
I am good reference. I am furious that the entire note is not on WWL News' website, by the
right.
way. Because I would love to hear the note that accompanies slashing tires and smashing windows. Here are some of the highlights.
The woman goes on a rant, calling the intended person vulgar names and claims she now has two sexually transmitted diseases.
How about that?
Wow. Oh.
You don't get the twofer very often, I assume.
You make that sound like it's a positive.
I mean, do you get the twofer very often? Allie, you would know. Or do you usually get it just one at a time?
You're awful.
Okay.
The more I started reading it, it started to dawn on me like, oh, this is just a random act of, you know, vandalism that had nothing to do with me.
I wonder how far into the note he got before he realized he wasn't cheating with somebody's boyfriend or husband.
He was sweating like, oh no, it's not me.
It's not me.
Seems like Murray can't catch a break.
My vehicle was stolen out in front of my house about 3 months ago. So I didn't have a vehicle for a while. So my mom just recently bought a new vehicle. So this is her old car. She told me I could just use it for a little while until I got a new one.
Not long after that, Murray says someone hit him from behind.
Okay.
Wow.
He's having some auto difficulties, isn't he? What are the chances that this guy has his car stolen, then gets another car from his mom that gets smashed from behind, and then he gets that fixed and comes out and somebody else, with a case of mistaken identity, has destroyed his car again?
That's what he gets for cheating with a woman.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. At the beginning, he did say, oh, this could only happen to me. And I was like, oh, dear. What's with this guy's life?
Yes.
By the way, there's a tremendous amount of the story that we don't know.
Oh, you think there's a backstory?
Oh, yeah. This guy's all kinds of issues.
Really?
Oh.
Three of these things happened to the same guy? Come on now.
None of this sounds like it was his fault.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's the way
his car was stolen. How is that his fault?
Who's telling the story?
Well, I mean, the guy is saying his car was stolen.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he could make up whatever he wants to make up.
Are you saying insurance fraud or karma or...
Or drug dealing or who knows?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Like, somebody smashed his car up because they thought it was somebody else's car and now he's dealing drugs?
That's what you see when you read the words. I read between the lines.
Yeah. I've watched CSI enough to know this man is dirty.
All right. We're almost done.
I actually totaled the car out. So, but I got it fixed.
Okay, now that is, that plays to Kevin's point, which is if the car was totaled out, as he said, mm-hmm. you can't get it fixed.
No. Correct. Right? The definition of totaled is...
They usually don't even give it back to you. They just say, okay, well, we're going to get settle with the insurance or whatever.
Yeah. So what else is he lying about is what Kevin says.
Oh.
And, after they totaled it, and they're just going to keep it, so it only has liability.
Murray says he's not even angry at this point. He just wants whoever did this to speak up, apologize,
and return and pay the heroin.
For the damages.
Right.
I've been cheated on before, but... never like this. I never would have thought anything like this.
Until then, he'll place the tarp back on.
Sure.
Hoping he can finally leave his car troubles behind.
By the way, you know what's not going to happen is the lady who did that is going to come forward and apologize and pay for the damages.
Little note. Sorry. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Wrong guy. I hope the real side piece was watching the news that night.
I think that's when I started distrusting him because he used the word side piece.
I think he is the side piece.
Of course. He's everything bad in this story.
Interesting.
And we're not blaming the victim at all.
No. I don't think he's the victim. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'll keep my eyes peeled. If there's a further update about this being some sort of insurance fraud, then I'll be the first to apologize.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I assume that's racist.
I mean, we haven't done it. It might be. It might be, but we haven't done it yet.
Just started.
Bean's Wheel of Gift Cards, which we always enjoy so much each year.
Update on
great
that.
Time on that.
Amazon no longer sells gift cards.
No, looked it up.
They discontinued them last night.
Weirdly, I woke up this morning and so excited about the wheel, and I said, nervous, Amazon canceled gift cards.
Right.
Looked it up, still there.
Still there.
Really, because last night I heard for reals that they weren't going to do it anymore.
But you have old information.
We have to discontinue that bit.
That's fake news.
Right. Top 10 callers of the year.
I can't wait for this.
I spent a lot of time with this last night.
Yeah.
Great.
And you people are effing crazy. And we love you.
Yeah, and delightful.
I'm not positive we can do this in one chunk, Bean. There's so many great calls.
Excellent.
I had the whole thing finished before I went back and found Janet from Halloween.
Oh, the trick-or-treater.
Right? Yes. And she may be the craziest of all. I don't know. We'll see.
She was the one who...
35 years old, went trick-or-treating every year.
That's right. And
was mad at Jensen because he was slapping other adult hands out of his candy jar.
Yes.
And that's
can't wait to hear.
We'll still do it, even if she shows up at my house, that wacko.
top 10 beer mug red carpet moments.
I spent a lot of time on this last night, and I'm going to tell you, I don't think we can do it in one segment.
Yes.
Because I really, really had to edit down. I started out with like 18.
Same.
Had to whittle it down to 10, and it was tough. Mugs had a banner year.
Wow. Russ Leatherman will be on the program today, talking about the holiday movies that are coming out, and comedian Brian Regan will join us in studio. Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Allie is here. Time for our first look at what's happening here on this Wednesday.
Well, it happened again, you guys.
What?
Post Malone's Crocs.
They sold out again?
They sold out again. And it depends on who you read. Some say in less than 10 minutes. Some say in less than 10 seconds.
Mm.
Regardless, what I'm telling you is Post Malone's Crocs sold out again in record time. And in case you were wondering about the gibbets, it bothers you.
Creepy.
That's why I'm saying it so many more times this morning. Those are the little charms that you stick, I guess, into the holes of the croc. Yep.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
It features six custom-designed gibbets. One is his Stay Away tattoo, another is his own logo, and another is an all-white silhouette of a baby devil. So
sweet.
It's a good gift.
Yeah, they
perfect
were priced
for the holidays,
right? Priced at $59.99, and they're gone, you guys. They are gone.
Cheers. Jensen, let me ask you this question. You're a shoehead.
Cheers. Let's get some shoes. Let's get some shoes. These shoes rule. These shoes suck.
Remember that song?
Yes.
Sure.
yes, question. I am a shoehead. I like to be called a sneakerhead a little more, but yes.
Okay. Post Malone knew this was going to happen. He knew that they were going to be a hot commodity. They were going to sell out instantly.
Sure.
Why not price them more?
I think that I would assume Crocs prides themselves on being an affordable shoe company. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll probably, over time, now that they see how popular they are, they'll release sort of like exclusives that are a little more. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they'll ever break the 100 mark, because then you're paying over $100 for Crocs.
Right.
Right.
But they're selling on eBay for $800 right now.
I guess. But no one ever wants... Like, I think it's that impulse buy that they got lucky with. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'll buy those for $60. Like, I think... And then anyone who's buying them on eBay is just a total moron, which is a different demographic.
And by the way, it doesn't say how many people are buying them on eBay for that much money.
Right.
Might not be very many.
Right. Hmm. So he had once come out and said, I wear Crocs everywhere, from the bar to the stage, and I just felt it was the perfect collaboration to get together with Crocs to give the fans what they've been asking for. And he spoke on the importance of wearing things that make you happy. If you like something, go get it. And that's Crocs to Post Malone.
All right.
Okay.
You can get just the charms, by the way, online also.
Yes, the gibbets are $9.99.
They're charms.
The gibbets are $9.99.
So, just disturbing.
He's having a pretty good year, that Post Malone, right?
Yeah, he's killing it.
Nominated for 4 Grammys. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Selling out shows left and right. Selling out Crocs left and right.
You know you're famous when you're selling heinous shoes.
Right.
It's like Steph Curry has heinous shoes as well, and they sell out. And I'm like, ugh, that just means you're very famous.
So ESPN has been using Imagine Dragons single Natural as the soundtrack for their college football coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to close out the year by having Imagine Dragons performing at ESPN's halftime telecast of the college football playoff national championship. That's January 7th in Santa Clara, California. So that's going to wrap up a very, very busy year for Imagine Dragons. Just prior to that performance, they're going to close out the year of 2018 with a New Year's Eve show in their hometown of Las Vegas. Remember when they were just like touring, then they're like, hey, here's our new album.
Yep.
Like in the middle of that, then they're mm-hmm. like, now we're touring that. I don't think they like their homes.
I think so. Either. I think they're running away from their families.
Well, they do like money.
Wow. Mm,
there's that.
Money is pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. And now, breaking news bulletin.
Oh. I'm sorry to interrupt, Allie.
No, please.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Kevin, me listener Martha writes in about our mistaken identity story.
Live, local, late breaking.
This is the guy who walked out and found out that his car had been trashed.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Tire slashed, windshield smashed.
Mm-hmm.
3-page note accusing him of screwing around with his dude, with her dude, I guess. Your mistaken identity story, it's so obvious that the guy's mother is the side piece.
Whoa.
Remember, it was her car first.
Oh.
Could that be?
I mean, anything can happen.
Of course, it could be.
I mean, he had mom's car because his was stolen.
I did find it odd that she leapt immediately to a man. So unless there was, you know, he was bisexual, something like that, wouldn't she find that odd that the side piece was a guy of her husband?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that needs
to unpack.
No, she thought the side piece was a woman. She thought this was a woman's car. Martha's suggesting that it was the dude's mother's car. The mother was the side piece.
I thought she assumed the guy was the side piece. That's why she did it. You think it was just mistaken car altogether?
Yeah, mistaken car.
What if it's the car that's the side piece?
Right?
Jensen.
Has anyone checked the tailpipe?
Oh, God.
Hey, Bean, I would also like to challenge your use of breaking news.
Yes.
As that was just a random guess from someone about a story. That's not breaking news.
Yeah, I did think it was going to be that he's been arrested.
Something.
He was doing all of this and Kevin was right.
Some breaking news.
Yeah.
Have you watched CNN lately?
Well, sure, but
there's never a time where everything isn't breaking news. Okay,
right.
That's just how we roll now.
Oh, it's a developing story. What? Hold on,
yes.
Developing story.
Okay,
you didn't exactly, something in your ear, are you?
Yeah, somebody said it was a neighbor. Oh, thank you, Jimmy.
Breaking news.
From Pacoima. I mean, really.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom of this before today's show's out.
See, this whole time I thought it was weird that she just thought her husband all of a sudden had a gay lover.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, you're right. Mistaken.
That's not what happened.
Right. Bean's going to spend his entire vacation traveling around New Orleans with a notepad and a weird hat.
I love it.
Asking people questions. Who's the side piece? It's me, Bean.
Would that be awesome if I did that?
That would be, yes.
I mean, they say in the story where the car was parked. I mean, I could start there.
You have to. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. Jennifer Connelly, Bob Barker, Bill Nighy. Nighy. That's a hard name to say, but I do enjoy him.
Actor, not scientist. No?
No.
Yes.
Yes, Love Actually. Yes. Shaun of the Dead, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, yes, yes.
Regina Hall, amazing actress, and Mayim Bialik. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Hey, don't say it, Kevin.
Guys,
don't say it, Kevin.
Beer Mug don't is in the studio, it, and he's standing in front of a microphone.
Beer Mug is not only invited, okay. We not only want him on the air.
So turn on his microphone?
Turn on his microphone. Yeah, okay. He is our special guest for this segment. Hey, Mugs, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays and almost a happy new year. How's everybody doing?
Good to see you, son.
Let me tell you, Happy New Year is good.
Let me tell you something about Beer Mug that people don't know. There's a fire Beer Mug movement afoot in this country at all times. Beer Mug is our most valuable player here on the Kevin
I think
Bean
so
Show.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, guys.
He may be the most popular member of the Kevin and Bean Show, if I can go so far as to say that.
Wow. That may be too far, but I mean, I agree with the first one.
We love this dude, and you can put, just like a utility player, you can put him in any position. He can pitch, he can catch, he can play first base, you can put him in the outfield, he always performs. And
but
one
he
of
leaves
his...
once the team gets behind, so don't forget that.
That's true, too.
That's his mom.
But his most special skill is when we send him out to events all over Southern California on the red carpet. And he had another banner year in 2018. It's time for the top 10 Beer Mug interview moments.
The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. That's outrageous. When Beer Mug's on the case, he'll stick a microphone in your face. Questions, he's got none. He just yells, "That is awesome." And when you think that is it, he says, "That's fantastic." Beer Mug is such a stud. Oh no, I meant he's a dud. Top Beer Mug interview moments. Let's go.
Yeah. So Beer Mug goes out to red carpet events, to movie premieres, to sporting events, to MTV events, whatever it is, we send him out there. The Hollywood Christmas Parade he did recently, and we have compiled. It was very tough to narrow these down, but there are a couple of different kinds of Beer Mug interview moments that he does. My favorite is when he has a great idea for a question, and in his mind, I'm sure it's well-crafted. It doesn't always come out that way.
Number 10.
What's your main inspiration from... I guess outside everyday environmental factors. How do you sit down and go, I have to be inspired, a score that's supposed to emotionally move people?
I mean, we know what he was trying to say there, right?
Do we, though?
environmental factors.
What? Like the smog and the pollution? What, like...
I think Beer Mug is perfect, and I think that question was perfect, and that's why it's number 10.
That confused me.
A variation of that is, just talking to an actor about what it's like being a successful franchise.
Number 9.
What is it like, Seth, being part of one of the biggest comic book movies to hit the scene in the longest time?
I mean, I think we get his point, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Now, there's a special kind of thing that Beer Mug does. Look. Radio is low man on the totem pole sometimes, Mugs. You oftentimes go to events where the big stars just blow on by you because they want to talk to Access Hollywood, yeah, right?
Very, very often that happens.
But you got to give Muggs credit. He doesn't just stand there like a wallflower. He tries to get these people over. Sometimes I question the technique he uses to try to get them over.
Number 8.
Evangeline, you're looking beautiful. I wish I could fit into that dress.
What? Now that cracks Muggs up. No, why so would you weird. Want to fit into her dress? Like, how does that make so any weird. Sense? And how does that get her want to come to talk to you?
I think the whole two words I was missing in that sentence was "with you." And I was going to be...
Oh, that's much worse, Beer Mug. That's much worse.
Way worse.
I'm glad that you were... So I think,
I wish I could fit into that dress would have never entered my mind.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And you heard him crack himself up, and now he evaluates the success of his question.
I made her smile and stick her tongue out at me. That means that was a great interview, I think.
So in Muggs' mind, that was a successful Evangeline Lilly interview.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I don't know what's going on with this one. This is at the ESPYs, and Denver Broncos great Von Miller goes by, and Muggs is doing what Muggs does, which is to try to get him to come over and talk to him in the microphone.
Number 7.
Hey, the ESPYs don't start until Von shows up right there.
Von, what's up, fam?
Von Miller.
What is that?
Well, Von is German.
Yeah, but I mean...
Von Miller.
I mean, you make him sound like an SS agent or something. What are you trying to do?
Why are you doing that?
I was just trying to get his attention any way I could.
Why wasn't he already walking by?
He was approaching.
It sounded like it was a recap, though.
Okay. He was approaching.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you remember, Muggs. I don't know the context of this, but we had just announced the Weenie Roast over the summer. And for some reason, you decided to play a game with somebody on the red carpet where you sang a Blink-182 song. Do you remember this and why?
Oh, yeah. I think it was with
a guy named Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Oh, well, yeah. I think it was at the Avengers red carpet. And mm-hmm. I was doing, like, finish the lyric. And I started the lyrics. And
but
well,
why would you do that with a random person who has nothing to do with Blink-182 and nothing to do with the Weenie Roast?
Yeah, I have, you know, just, you know, Weenie Roast promotion, I guess. I don't know.
Number six.
Oh, Jeff, before you go, yes. I got to ask you to finish this lyric. We just announced our Weenie Roast lineup, so I'm just...
Okay.
How about this? All right, just say the final lyric. Okay, I'm going to start it off. Okay. All right. Late night, come home, work sucks, I know, surprises, lets me know she cares. I almost messed that up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I f***ed that up. I
f***ed cares. It's okay.
She left me roses by the stairs.
Okay. So he's trying it again, by the way. Again, jeez. This person has nothing to do with the Weenie Roast. No. This poor guy is just there to promote his movie. Right?
Maybe he liked Blink. I don't know.
Surprises, you did the right. Surprises, let me know she cares.
I'm sorry I messed that up so bad, Jeff. Oh,
man, I knew it. So it was a good choice.
My game turned around on me, making me look like a fool.
I don't think I'll ever understand that one. All right. One of the other things that Muggs does when he gets frustrated, it's late in the night, and he's not getting the people he wants to, is he decides to just conduct his own interviews where he plays both parts.
Right.
So Muggs is the interviewer and also the interviewee, and he was on fire at this premiere.
Number five.
Hey, it's Paul Rudd. Paul, tell me what it was like playing Ant-Man. It was cool. Oh, thank you, Paul. Hey, Michael, tell me what it was like playing Dr. Hank Pym. I'm Michael Douglas.
Why is Michael Douglas soul brother number one?
I love it. Sounded just like both of them.
I loved you in Scarface.
Okay.
Wow.
So if you had got the opportunity to talk to Michelle Pfeiffer, you would have brought up her Red Hot film from 40 years ago.
That's what I do, man.
That's where you were going.
That's what I do.
He was locked and loaded with that question. Most recently, and by the way, this isn't the first time Muggs has tried to interview somebody who can't talk back to him, right? Somebody
sure.
who's like a mascot in this mm-hmm. case. Sure. Well, Muggs was at the Hollywood Christmas Parade,
and
Gumby showed up. Now, I would think, and I understand that they brought Gumby over, and you were just trying to not offend the publicist by talking to him, but let's bear in mind as Muggs begins his interview, he knows Gumby doesn't talk.
Number four.
Gumby, is there anything you could say about the Hollywood Christmas Parade? How excited are you to be here? You heard it from the man here himself, Gumby.
All right, so you think he would be done now because he's already placated the publicist
right.
and mm-hmm. pretended to interview Gumby who doesn't talk.
That's a wrap on that one.
I would think so, too. Although Muggs isn't done because he has a lot of Gumby feelings.
Well, I got to tell you, Gumby, it might make you feel good that when I was four, I had a Gumby and Pokey action figures. Unfortunately, my dog got to them.
Okay, I don't know how you thought that would make Gumby feel good.
Look, I'm just trying to make you feel good, but my dog chewed you up when I was a child.
We're counting down the top 10 beer mug interview moments. Here's an all-time classic with an all-time musical legend.
Number three.
When I first heard Mr. Boombastic, it affected me in a way that your deep, sensual voice hasn't affected anyone before. I mean, it was...
That's a fantastic point, by the
way. Were you pointing at your junk while asking this?
I do feel like it, right?
Has a man told you that before?
Again, very weird.
I don't normally do impressions for the person that I'm standing in front of the person that I'm standing in front of. But here we go. I'm gonna do it, and you tell me what you think. I know, I'm not going to be like you, but yeah. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Mr. Boombastic. Baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
I think it might work for you. It wouldn't work for me.
I got news for you. It worked for Muggs.
I love that so much. Do you give Muggs credit for being bold enough to do a Shaggy impression in front of Shaggy?
Yes. There's a fine line between bold and stupid, and I'm not positive.
Thank you.
But I love whichever, wherever he landed.
Thank you.
All right, this one surprised me, to tell you the truth, that we didn't talk about it more at the time and that it didn't get more coverage just in general in the media.
Number two.
Here comes the man, Stan. Man, Stan Lee. What the f***?
I mean, really, Muggs, that was...
Bean.
That was sad.
Too soon.
Bean.
That wasn't me, that was...
Bean.
I can't believe you did that, Muggs.
Can you guys guess what happened there?
Wow.
Here comes the man, Stan. Man, Stan Lee. What the f***?
I mean, come on with that.
That is not okay, Muggs.
I can't believe
why would you do that?
Did that. Muggs had a hell of a year, you guys. It was very tough to narrow it down, but here it is. Beer Mug's top moment of 2018.
Number one.
How are you?
Nice to meet you. And your name?
It's Leslie.
Leslie the Stingray. Of Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leslie's not the one that killed Steve Irwin, right?
No.
Too soon?
No.
Was this a guy who shows up in a stingray suit?
Yeah.
And you thought somehow he was the actual fish
costume character
that jumped out and killed Steve Irwin.
That's fantastic.
Guys, so you killed someone at number two and number one.
Number one makes up for number two.
Well done, Muggs. Great year.
Thank you.
The top interview moments. That's outrageous.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Last hour, we did the top 10 interview moments on the red carpet for Beer Mug. Coming up, we have the top 10 callers of the year for 2018. This is your participation on the program, on the way. Whose headphones are turned up way too loud?
I have all the mics on because something everyone's weird in here because we're all excited
for
the Wheel of Gifts.
Yeah! Right, 1,000!
Okay.
1,000!
Look, I know I have myself to blame because I got to the point where I became too lazy to buy Christmas gifts for everybody. So I'm the one who actually suggested years ago, hey, what if I just spun a wheel and then whatever it lands on, that's the gift card you get. There's no thousand on the wheel, you guys. So that's what we've been doing the last few years is we have, what's on the wheel? What are the potential numbers it could land on?
We've got $100, mm-hmm. $50. $250, $75, $500, $25, $1,709. Kevin, I hope you land on that. And then, of course, $1,000.
Everything under 75 is a reasonable amount for it to land on.
So right, five to 1,000.
Anything under that hurts me deeply to my soul. All right, I guess I need to start taking notes here to have to pay later.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the most wonderful time of the year where Bean shows how generous he is as he gives all the Kevin and Bean Show members a gift card from Amazon. Let's get ready to play.
Bean's Wheel of Gift Cards!
500 is a lot, you guys. Why are you pushing for double that?
Because you said, if I'm not mistaken, in the last month that you're rich. You guys remember that? Because I was very shocked that Bean would say that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to claim you're poor?
Yes, I'm very poor.
No.
All right, who's spinning first?
Let's
get the show on the road.
I can go first.
All right, Jensen.
I deserve the 1,000.
All right, here we go. Well, you have been on the show for 3 weeks. So
he spun it kind of lightly.
Wow.
All right.
He's got a weird technique.
Ooh.
How much?
$250.
Oh, $250. That's way too much for Jensen.
Fantastic.
And by the way, he has 10 jobs. He doesn't need anything from me.
Oh, I'll take it.
Wheel of Gift Cards.
All right, who's next?
Can Jim we mic Roo. The wheel a little bit more? By the way, you can't really hear it.
Yeah. Put the yellow mic over there, which Dave told me to turn off. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
Chip.
There you go.
That's
now we're spinning.
I feel like
now
we're spinning.
Just wait to see. Chip.
Hold on.
Ooh.
Oh. No.
$50.
I'll allow it.
All right.
I will allow it.
I'll go.
All right.
Yeah. 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 Give me 1,000. No whammies.
Nice spin.
There is no 1,000, by the way.
1,000.
1,000 equals zero.
All right, let's see here. Omar.
Oh! Oh! It was on the 1,000 and then fell into the 50.
Oh!
Damn.
Bees, Wheel of Gift Cards.
All right, who's next?
I'll go next.
Please note, by the way, we've barely begun. I am already out hundreds of dollars.
Shut up, you're rich.
There we go.
Ooh, why did you guys put New Orleans House up there?
What happened?
It was one little nugget away from 1,000, and I got $5.
$5.
$5, okay.
Damn it! I hate Christmas!
Peace! We love gift cards!
I will send you that $5 in candy corn. That sounds great.
All right, who's up?
I'll go.
All right, Dave, King of Mexico.
Here comes Dave.
Good spin.
A little finesse on it.
Finesse, huh? And I love it is.
We're dodging the $1,000 controversy.
250.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, 250. Nice.
Oh, ouch.
Is 250 the most that we've had
so far?
Jensen
yeah.
ended?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's left?
All
Christine?
Right, I'll go, guys.
Okay, Christine, go ahead.
Here we go.
Thousand!
Guys, this is my actual money that we're talking about here.
Oh, only for another.
Oh! Again, one off!
Right. It's rigged! It's only rigged!
Alright!
Bean, it's only your money for another 15 minutes.
Rigged. She got a.
Rigged!
Just, you know,
rigged! Rigged!
Christine got 50.
Right. 50 also. Okay.
Alright.
But Jensen, how much are you doing the math over there?
I'm doing the math.
How much am I in for
right now? You're in for about $700.
Guys, I'm telling you.
Bean, you're a bad broadcaster because you should have asked Allie that question.
$655.
Reminder that Muggs hit the 1,000 last year.
All right, here we go, Muggs.
Ringer.
1,000!
This is my stomach hurts now as a result of this.
Oh!
Just went past the 1,000 to the 5.
Rigged.
$5 rigged, sounds about
rigged,
right.
Rigged.
All right. Up steps Mr. Kevin Ryder to the
wheel. All right, the final spin.
I mean, does anyone deserve 1,000 more than me?
Nobody, Kevin.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
You deserve it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, come on.
The last spin. See if I get out of here alive.
It's literally 1709. That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Ring. That's unbelievable.
I feel good about four of those spins.
You're still at about $677.09.
Oh, my God.
So should we look for that? When are you going to mail it today?
No.
Email. This is an email thing because you're doing Amazon.
You can just email it.
We can do it in the next 10 minutes.
I don't think Amazon does gift cards anymore, you guys.
Thanks a lot, Bean. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bean. We love gift cards.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This is the time of year where we start to look back on the year that was, in this case 2018, and we're up to the favorite callers of the year. And let me just say this, Kevin, and I'm sure you were going to say something similar about how awesome our listeners are.
Yes.
They continue to show up year after year to listen to this dumb little dog and pony show. Not only that, they continue to call in on our ridiculous topics. And we couldn't do the show without you guys, so thank you from the bottom of our hearts for saying
and
that.
And especially thank you people that are in our top calls of the year. Now,
yes,
I did I have a lot of people on Twitter guessing who's going to be in the list.
Mm-hmm. They're really? Realizing this is a topic now? Yeah.
to me, because I posted last night that I was editing it.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them got bumped. So I would hear one and I would think, oh, that's great. And then I would hear one later and go, oh, I just for time, I have to not play that one.
Wow. So we have fantastic listeners.
There's like five or six that I took out. But this is the top callers of the year.
You call me Kevin and be Joe and blew up minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the ones that shine. Come on, baby, let's count it down. Count it down, because we have the best callers around.
We were talking about shows that you love, TV shows that you love, that your friends make fun of you for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Felicia in Simi Valley is our first top caller of the year. Let's go to Felicia in Simi Valley. Hi there.
Oh, Cherry Valley,
oh,
by
I'm sorry.
The way.
All right, take it easy.
And I have two shows, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, anyone that makes fun of you for watching that, you do not have them in your life.
Well, okay,
that is
my
a
husband.
Wonderful show.
Cut them out. You got to cut your husband out.
My two boys?
Yeah, you got to divorce them and put those two up for adoption. Got to move on.
I sent them to Alaska to go to school. There you go.
Felicia's a bit crazy.
There you go.
Okay, what's your
there
other
you
show?
Go. Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens?
I'm listening.
On History Channel. It's for real. It's for real. It's so
Look,
for real.
I know the show is for real.
Scientists.
Yeah.
They have scientists,
mm-hmm.
They have the Joseph Campbell archives, and I'm going to be a volunteer at the Ancient Alien Con in Pasadena
There's
in June.
There's an Ancient Alien Con.
Okay.
They have special guest speakers. They have panel discussions.
Listen to the joy in Felicia's voice.
She doesn't know what to wear.
I don't know what to wear. This is going to be so exciting.
Oh, I loved her.
She sure started one way, correcting us hardcore.
Right.
And then turned and is just a crazy person.
Love it.
I've never been as excited about anything as she is about the ancient alien con.
Don't you guys wonder what she wore?
I do.
Oh, it's got to be like a beautiful gown dress, like a ballroom. Yeah.
Next is very masculine. Next is somebody that I don't think we ended up liking much, but we were talking about sabotage and when a friend or a significant other sabotages you. Neil in Fullerton. Good morning, Neil.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, real quick, like, I live with my girlfriend, had another girl come over. She decides to get her lips put up and put lipstick on her my girlfriend's pillow, turned the pillow upside down, and used her hairbrush. Got caught.
Okay, the topic is sabotage. So she sabotaged you, did that on purpose so that your girlfriend would see that you had had another woman in the bed.
Exactly.
Why?
That's a woman for you.
Says the dude that was cheating on his live-in girlfriend with another chick.
Wow. I am a team girlfriend. Are you guys?
it's really difficult to get us all to turn on somebody at the same time.
That's a woman for you was his defense, by the way. Because he got caught.
Got a good relationship with his mom, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
All right. Now we were talking about you have a unique name. Is there a backstory for it? And we start getting really frustrated with this guy.
Well, let's try Sasan. I assume it's pronounced Sasan. Maybe I'll find out I'm wrong here. Good morning.
My name's Sasan.
Sasan. Okay.
And, it is Sasan. Go ahead.
Yes, it's not Hassan with an H.
Right, we heard. Mm-hmm. Okay.
S-A-S-A-N.
All right, we got it.
Well, trust me, I've had many bastardizations.
I'm sure. Do you have a backstory for your name?
I mean, we pronounced it right from the beginning. You're yelling at us.
He didn't have a good story, so.
That's the first.
He wouldn't stop yelling about his name.
It's Hassan. Right. I had trouble.
And Bean's right, we said it right the first time.
Yeah, we turned on him fast.
Right. Kids in school said Hassan.
We're still a little frustrated now. We're talking about conspiracy theories, and this guy came up.
All right, let's try one more. Let's make it Los Angeles. Jeff, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. Conspiracy theories.
So I've been a targeted individual for 16 years.
What's a targeted individual, please?
I'd rather you Google it, but...
I'd rather you tell us. We're doing a radio show, and it involves audio.
Hold on. Everybody Google. Let's just be quiet.
I've explained it so many times, and it's so hard.
But not to us!
He told us to Google it!
He told us to Google it!
I'd rather you Google it.
I mean, that was the second thing he said. What's happening?
It's not like we called him, right?
This one happened recently. We were talking about little things that make you happy.
Oh, no.
And our friend Natalie called.
All right. We might as well deal with Natalie. She's
do we have to, though?
She's the big elephant in the room. We have to. Our last call. Natalie, it's all you.
Well, mine is, and it's kind of gross, but it's true. When you go number two and it disappears. Like, you get up and you look, and there's nothing in there.
Not like magic. You mean like it goes into the hole?
It's just gone.
She's talking
like
about
it's just,
magic.
It's just gone. You don't even ask questions. It's just gone. And the double
whammy. You should ask
the
questions.
The double whammy is when it's in somebody's home or something. You know, that's a great thing.
Yeah, but isn't that is that what toilets are supposed to do? That's how they're
no,
designed.
No, no, no. Without flushing or
without
anything.
Without flushing.
It's gone.
Wait.
So then you don't flush? You leave without flushing?
No, she's talking about before you flush, it goes down.
How does that happen?
Magic.
You don't even ask questions. You're like, hey, it's gone.
Natalie, who would you ask a question of?
Where did the poo go? I don't know. I'm just wash my hands and I'm done.
You're the best. Call us every day.
I loved her so much.
Loved her so much.
How did we never find out where the poo went, though?
Oh,
we're up to our second favorite. And then the favorite, I don't think we're going to have time for right now, so we might have to stick around. But second favorite, this is how it happened on the air in real time.
All right, let's see if Jesse can have us go out on a high note here.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Nope.
It's the
Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K Rock.
It was one of those situations where Bean was like, look, one more. Maybe it didn't go as high as we.
Is that not the best?
Right? How is that not number one?
It was the worst call in ever. Everyone was sucking, and we're like, we can't end right. it like
Bean
that.
But Bean was the one yeah. who was insisting
yes.
that we take one
but
more call.
Is it possible that Jesse was going to save
yeah, of course.
The day?
But did he? I'll play this for you again.
All right. Let's see if Jesse can have us go out on a high note here.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Nope.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
Still right. funny.
If all of those people, as awesome as they were not number one,
correct.
I can't wait to hear the caller of the year when we come back.
Number one is next.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
First, though, Kevin, where are we?
We're at number one is where we are.
Oh.
Top callers of the year. We just had seven before, mm-hmm. which we all loved. And a lot of people are trying to guess at what number one is.
Some of those could have been number one.
I agree.
Oh, like,
they were all hits.
Oh, hello. It may have been my favorite.
Amazing.
Of the whole time. Until this person called. Now, we had had many conversations before, and we've had these conversations in the past. How old is too old to trick or treat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this year I had full-grown adults in no costumes come to my house and take candy, and I was so caught off guard I didn't say anything.
Without
and
kids?
No, and it was still stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my mind, and
it was
that's infuriating.
That's robbery is what that is.
Yeah, it's actual, I think it's assault, actually.
And then, then Jensen said, not only that, but they would go back for a second or a third, and then he would maybe slap their hand.
I wish I reacted that way, but I sort of pulled the jar back, you know what I mean?
Just like, so that they couldn't keep taking it?
Couldn't do it.
So weird.
So then Janet called on the Afro line and left us a message saying that she's an adult and she trick-or-treats all the time.
No way.
So
she's
then
an animal.
So then we called her back, and the first question we asked her was, how old is she?
Mm-hmm. I'm 35.
35. Okay.
35.
Did you dress up?
Yes, I dress up. Sometimes I don't dress up. Sometimes I dress up, depending on how much time I have to get ready for it.
Janet, sometimes you don't dress up and you still go door to door asking for candy?
Yes, I borrow a neighbor's kid. I go there, I put my little hand out, I was like, trick or treat, and they give me a treat.
Is this your one call from jail?
Have you ever been rejected by an adult who does not want to give you candy because you're older than he is?
One time when I was on a date, yes, they thought we were stupid.
Oh, hold
on. You were on a date.
Let's back up, Janet.
So
it was my first date. It was a first date. It's a way to find out if a guy is worth having time with.
Right. But for your first date, you chose to go trick-or-treating on Halloween?
Yes. It's like having a date for Valentine's. You get to say, you know what? You want a date?
So when you hear people have a discussion every year about 12 or 14 or 16 or whatever the appropriate age is for kids to stop trick-or-treating in costume, you just scoff at that because you plan on trick-or-treating for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, too. I'm able to walk and stop walking. I can even use a walker, yes.
How about if we all get together and just send you some candy, Janet? Would that help?
No, I can't eat candy. I don't like it.
Oh, my God.
What is... What? What?
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
What are you doing with all the candy? You just said you don't like candy.
Best plot twist ever.
I don't. I throw it away.
You throw it away. You're a monster.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
No, it's...
So you're taking people's candy, which they had to buy, and then you're throwing it in the trash.
Yes.
Is it just the rush? Is it the adrenaline?
It's sometimes just to see the expression on people's face. And sometimes it's because they can't say no to me because I'm cute like that.
Oh, Janet.
You are all kinds of crazy, Janet.
I think I love her now, though. I will tell you, I think I want a reality show with Janet. All right, well, listen, next time don't throw it away. Send it to Kevin and Bean,
right.
Okay? If you're going to do it right.
Don't waste it.
How about I just buy you guys a bag of candy?
I mean, okay, it's a separate... Okay, fine. Janet. Number one, 35-year-old. Still trick-or-treats without kids. Took a first date trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most importantly, hates candy.
Hates candy.
So for the record, if she did send you candy, you can't eat it. There's definitely razor blades in it and heroin.
Because crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Top colors of the year. Top colors.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Callie, did you know that Zachary Levi is on the new season of Mrs. Maisel?
Okay,
did you
so
know that?
Well, let's just get this out there. So Bean says, are you going to watch the second season of Mrs. Maisel? And I said, I'm not sure, blah, blah, blah. And I said, but Zachary Levi's in it. And he goes, wait, there's a guy in it that looks so much like Zachary Levi that Donna and I find it distracting that he looks so much like him. Why? Because it's him.
Why wouldn't it come to your mind that he's in it?
Okay, here's the thing. The guy looks so much like Zachary Levi, but not enough for me to think he is Zachary Levi.
But he
is telling me that he is Zachary Levi.
Not only is it Zachary Levi, I did a What's Happening on when he was cast, and I said, I just made your favorite show even better by them casting someone that we as a show all adore.
Right, but I don't listen to you.
Okay,
you know
okay,
that.
Good point.
He's
good
so
point.
In Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that there's an article already asking if he'll return for season 3. That's how in it he is.
He is so Zachary Levi.
Right. Yeah.
So much so that it's him.
This is a breakthrough here.
Congratulations.
This is amazing.
Unreal.
Well, the second season is even more delightful than the first season, by the way.
And where's that be?
It streams on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Right.
And it's great. It won the Emmy and the Golden Globe. It won everything for season 1, and now they're back for season 2. It just came out last week. So thank you for that, Allie. That's good news. What else is going on this Wednesday morning?
Good God. Well, Netflix has released their own year in review, and among the highlights is a list of the series that people enjoyed that had, quote, the highest average watch time per viewing session.
Here comes
that
some lies,
means,
by the way.
Lies.
That means the most binged and watched most intently, meaning they watched the most episodes all at one sitting.
Why do you think it's a lie?
Because the only time they've released viewer numbers, because they hide them, is when it's something that's under, like...
underperforming?
Well, it's just like people are making fun of it. Like, oh, Fuller House, when it first landed, everyone was... They said, oh, it's the most streamed we've ever had. They say that about the Adam Sandler movies. They say that about everything
that's... So you think it's just PR?
I do.
Okay. What do you got, Allie?
Interesting. Well, they have the top 10 of the ones that
people sat and
watched in succession.
Yeah, I guarantee you they downgrade the Marvel shows in it. Like, there's no way that the Marvel shows are listed as like top 10.
Daredevil
stuff.
Yeah. And, yeah.
They are not on the top 10, but I will tell you why. Because you can't watch them all in one sitting. You just can't. There's too much to take in. Daredevil, it took me like a week and a half.
Still.
And I love that show.
Keep in mind, they didn't list any of their new rivals' shows on this. Go on.
All right, let's hear.
Here's the thing. If you think about some of these shows, they are very teen-based. Mm-hmm. And who has more time and more energy than a teenager that wants to get through a show?
Okay.
So, coming in at number 10, Orange is the New Black Season 6.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's a show that has a huge built-in audience.
Absolutely.
That people anticipate. Okay, that makes sense.
Number 9, Insatiable.
Okay.
What's
Insatiable?
The one where the girl was overweight and then she went away for a summer and came back and she was thin and hot.
Oh, okay. I speak Kevin Ellie. Mm-hmm. She was fat and now she's all that, Kevin.
Okay.
All right. Coming in at number 8, no idea what this was. Anne with an E, season 2.
Yeah, again, this is not
what?
True. This isn't true.
But
yeah.
it's a very young show, orphan seeking love and acceptance. It's a classic book and film, a reimagining of that. Number 7, The Haunting of Hill House.
See, that I would think that's higher, but go on.
Okay. Number 6, Fastest Car. What? Fastest Car
changed my life.
That sounds fake.
And I'm glad you're not believing it because I had to look it up.
Yep.
The drivers of exotic supercars put their street cred on the line against deceptively fast sleeper cars built and modified by true gearheads.
No.
Wow.
But you know what?
Gearheads. Two, I'm going to say is this is so that you'll watch it. Does anyone see this PR?
It's a push for you to...
If you know anything about car people, they are insane about their cars. All so right. I can see that is happening.
Right. Is it possible, by the way, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Netflix is worldwide. Is it possible that some of these shows are enormously popular in other countries?
Sure.
They just haven't made a dent here.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge... Other countries love Fastest Car.
All right.
Number 5, Bodyguard.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
That was great.
Number 4, Last Chance You.
Love that show.
Yeah. Wonderful show.
Okay.
Number 3, 13 Reasons Why, season 2.
Totally makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Number 2, Making a Murderer, part 2. Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And number 1, On My Block.
Oh, yeah, that's real. Totally.
What?
Yeah, on
what
my
blog.
That's
on my blog.
It's the teenage coming of age show, the South Central Kids. Oh, this show was huge.
On my blog.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
Huge as Haunted Hill or whatever? No way.
By teens that are binge watching? Hell yes. Absolutely. Okay.
As the youth correspondent here on this show.
Are you? As the 39-year-old youth correspondent, yes.
Guys, as the guy who wears clothes that makes him look like a narc, I'm going to say that's not real.
Okay.
I don't think that's a real thing. I still don't even think Fastest Car is a real show.
No, I looked it up. It's real. Yeah. It's real, you guys.
They built the website for this list.
I think the problem is that some of those choices support Jensen's theory.
But
some may.
It's
who knows?
Also a metric of who's watching it from start to finish, it sitting down. And if they're teen-based shows, kind of makes sense.
Okay, could be.
Could be.
All right. That's an interesting list.
It is.
Netflix has so many shows that it's impossible even for people who pay close attention to keep up with them all.
Absolutely.
But at least these were the top 10.
Right.
So we got that.
So a new study found that female-led films perform better at the box office than those starring men, essentially dismantling the myth that female-focused movies are bad for business.
They're disgusting, though.
The research examined 350 of the top-grossing films between 2014 and 2017, while films with male leads outnumbered those with women in lead roles, 245 versus 105.
Thank God.
The female-led shows consistently made more money on average.
That's a woman for
you. It's a woman for you.
Women got to go somewhere when they got the period.
Oh, my God.
They go to theaters to get away.
Oh, dear.
They got to bleed.
I did laugh at this, though. Films featuring female leads in recent years did really well, and then they listed four. Three of them are cartoons. Moana.
Oh, thank yeah, I can
trolls.
Handle her. I can handle trolls. I am a troll.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
And Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's a bad one at the end.
So
Wonder Woman was great.
Absolutely, but I mean,
the other three
we're
are animated.
Female-led films. We're talking about someone that was drawn.
Yeah, because the
you
best.
You don't even ask questions.
The best. That's women, true. The best women are fake ones.
Oh, good God.
Ones that don't exist.
Oh dear. All right, let's get out of here. Birthdays for you: Jennifer Connelly, Bob Barker, Regina Hall, Maya Bialik, and Bill Nighy. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean!
K-U Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Russ Leatherman wants to talk to us.
He is on the phone right now. He is the movie man at 6secondreviews.com on Twitter at the number 6secondreviews. How are you, sir?
What's up, ladies?
I know that you go to all the movies in the world. You probably see 300 a year or something like that. What can this time of year possibly be like for you when they cram all of the potential award winners into 3 weeks? I mean, you just must be seeing two and three a day, Russ.
First of all, Allie, I know you're a little disappointed by my intro there.
Well, right.
But it's only because I was told that maybe my previous regular go-to, not appropriate for the time.
I'm fine with the new one.
Aww. All right.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm all right with it. All right. All what's right. up, ladies? It is.
That's what we're going with. 50 new movies between now and the end
of
the
year. Did you say 50?
50. Five-zero. And so what I'd like to do is just stop down and cover each one of them in detail.
Nope.
Question about radio.
No,
radio
sir.
Won't allow that.
No,
yet.
Sir.
Radio. Right.
All right.
Well, let's cover the big ones because we want to give people an idea of what's in theaters. And let's start with one I know you guys are super familiar with. You've already talked about it. We won't spend a lot of time on it. But opening this week, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I'm very excited.
Can't wait. Very excited as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's just play a 6-second review.
The Movie Man's 6-second review starts now.
No ridiculous costumes, no terrible CGI. Spider-Verse is the best comic book movie yet. The Mint.
Wow. The best comic book movie yet is really saying something. You are not alone with that opinion. What makes this one so special?
Well, here's the thing. Not a huge fan of comic book movies in general, live action specifically.
Right?
Because I always feel like they're not true to the comics. I feel like it's goofy people running around in goofy suits. It's like, hey, there's Chris Hemsworth with a styrofoam hammer getting ready to hit somebody.
You've seen too many movies.
No, but I always feel like I'm taken out of the movie, right? Because it's a big star playing the character.
Right.
The beauty of this movie is that it's true to the comics. It's an animation like you haven't seen. And I think it's done exactly right. So the story's great. The characters are great.
Fantastic.
It looks fantastic, and it's well worth seeing. Maybe my favorite comic book movie. Like, ooh,
okay,
said.
How about
let's
that?
Do it.
All right, let's see where this comic book movie comes in. Let's hear a clip from the upcoming Aquaman.
Your half-brother, King Orm, is about to declare war upon the surface world. The only way to stop this war is for you to take your rightful place as king.
Trust me, I am no king.
You do your best thinking when you're not thinking at all.
That was the worst pep talk ever.
You think you're unworthy to lead because you're of two different worlds. But that is exactly why you are worthy.
I think this Jason Momoa is very charismatic, and I can see why people like him, of course, for his Game of Thrones background and everything else, but it's still ultimately a guy who talks to fishes, right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with here, Russ.
It is a guy who talks to fishes, and it's kind of exactly what I was talking about earlier, which is it's a dude in a suit talking to fishes, live action. Not necessarily believable. I will say that this is... it's like a meal that's all dessert, right?
All right, I'm in.
Kevin's right in.
They leave no shell unturned for this movie. It is going to make a bazillion dollars. It's going to be one of the big ones of the holiday season. I don't know that it's great, but it's so full. They throw so much crap at the screen that you just feel like there must be something good. There must be a pony in there somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Kevin, it has plenty of louds. That's all you need,
that's
right?
What I need.
All right. The latest in the Transformers franchise is a spinoff of a little car that ends up being called Bumblebee. Here's a clip.
There's a war raging on our planet. If this criminal isn't found, that war may find its way here.
Bumblebee, there is only one way to end this war. You must protect Earth and its people.
Take it down!
I backed me!
All right, I know I'm so out on this.
So,
how about you,
here's
Russ?
The thing.
100% in.
Everyone seemed out. This seemed like a nightmare John Cena with Bumblebee, and no one cares about these Transformers movies. And then today I started to hear good things. I don't know. What's the deal, Russ?
You guys think I'm going to crap on this movie.
Totally. I would expect so, and that means that I want to go. Because we have exact opposite taste. But go ahead.
That's not true. We're more alike than you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to crap on this movie. This is actually a pretty good movie.
All right.
And here's why. I like the actors. This is a spinoff of the Transformers franchise, which I hated almost every one of those movies. This movie focuses more on this character. It's much more believable to me, and this probably sounds ridiculous, but it's much more believable to me that this Volkswagen bug turns into a giant robot than a dude turning into a fish.
Okay.
All right. Quite a standard you have, Russ.
Thanks. So I thought it was, I was very surprised. I think it was amazingly well done. It will do well this holiday season.
Fantastic.
And it's better than you think it's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, word of mouth's going to be good on that one.
Let's all go around the room in our remaining moments with the movie man, Russ Leatherman, and let's all throw another movie at him and just get his sense. And I'd like to go first. Alfonso Cuarón is one of the greatest directors in the world today. He did Gravity. He did Children of Men. He did one of the Harry Potter movies. He has a film that is on Netflix this weekend called Roma that I am seeing as a lot of people's top film of 2018. Have you seen it, Russ? And if so, what do you think?
I have. It's one of the best films of the year.
Wow.
It is a love story to his childhood. It's different. It's black and white. There's an interesting thing going on with award season that somehow it's not eligible because it's also on Netflix. So that's weird, but clearly one of the best films of the year. And like you say, you can see it on your television here in a week or so.
All right. Kevin, you want to go next?
Yeah, I want to talk about The Mule, because that looks great.
Get out of my car.
Right?
Yeah. It's
Clint Eastwood.
You know what? If you're Clint Eastwood, and I don't know how old he is, 80, 90, something, and if you can just make movies with you being a drug mule and saying stuff, you know, your classic lines, do it. It doesn't look like a great movie. But if you're a Clint Eastwood fan, you know, why not?
I think he's a great director. Mm-hmm. And I like him
he's a great actor,
as well.
Too. Yeah, and I love Bradley Cooper, who's also in it.
And Michael Pena?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
Wow, you're in. But have you seen the trailer where he literally just turns to the camera and is like, ugh.
Yes.
Every line that he spits in a movie is basically, get off my lawn.
That's right.
Over and over again. So it'll be fine. I don't think it'll do particularly well, but it'll be fine.
All right.
Allie, you're up next.
I had the pleasure of seeing this movie a couple weeks ago, and it's turning into my Peaky Blinders. I won't stop talking about it. But the movie Vice.
Yeah, Vice. It is Christian Bale, who went through an extraordinary transformation about Dick Cheney and that whole administration. Did you love the movie, or did you just love Christian Bale and seeing what he always does, which is turn himself into something completely different?
I loved every character in that movie. I thought it was well written, well acted, and I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know. It basically follows Dick Cheney from his, you know, college years up through the rise and the repercussions globally of some of the things that we all thought were George Bush is doing, that he was the one with the puppet strings.
Does it cover him shooting his friend in the face?
It does.
I'm in.
It does.
And Lord knows we don't have enough politics going on right now. So
those were the good old days when the only thing you had to worry about was the vice president shooting a guy in the face, though, weren't they?
Right, for sure. Now, for me, the two biggest long shots are Holmes and Watson.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly.
Yep.
Could be great, could be terrible.
Correct, and yet I am so excited.
Well, I have one for you that can go either way.
All right, Jensen.
Welcome to Marwin is a movie where Steve Carell interacts with dolls and the billboard slightly disturbing. The trailer makes me think that he falls in love with a doll. I am concerned all across the board. It's a Zemeckis movie. Is this good?
I haven't seen it. I can't tell you. I'm as concerned as you are.
Okay.
Like you say, it's Zemeckis, which he makes great movies. But again, you watch the trailer and you're like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm compelled to pay $18 in a movie theater to see this movie.
The only thing I'll tell you is that Steve Carell, I think, has made great film choices since he became a movie actor out of TV. He really has been in so many good movies, and he's great in all of them.
And he's great in Beautiful Boy, which is out this Oscar season as well.
Yeah.
And great in Vice. He plays Donald Rumsfeld.
He's great all around.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of great.
Now, one movie we have to mention before we go is Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Nominated for Golden Globes, a fantastic cast, a really great movie, going to be the family movie of the holiday season. Mm-hmm. So if there's one surefire, guaranteed great movie to take the kids to, take the whole family to, it's Mary Poppins Returns.
So better than Practically Perfect.
A little better.
I see what you did there.
I really don't see what she did there.
I am very encouraged by much of what you have said here, the movie man, Russ Leatherman, because it sounds like there's something for everybody over the holiday season. Online at www.6secondreviews.com, on Twitter at @6secondreviews. Have yourself a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again in 2019. Thank you, sir.
You too, guys. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Brian Regan.
Hey.
Brian Regan.
Welcome back. Thank you for having me back.
How'd you enjoy your tour of Los Angeles this morning on your way to the station?
Well, you guys are always moving around. So I'm blaming you.
We're not always moving around as much as we move once.
Well, you moved in around 20
years.
You moved around that one time.
That's right. By the way, I'd just like to point out that Kevin, me, everybody was taking bets that I would go to the old station just out of memory.
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
No.
That is shocking to
me.
And yet, Brian Regan, wrong station.
They took him to the old K-Rock building this morning. And I wanted to ask, because we never go by there anymore, for the most part. Is the building still there, or have they torn it down yet, Brian?
There was a heap of smoldering ashes.
Okay.
Very sad. That was our indication that something is awry.
How are we going to broadcast from that?
That'll give us something to talk about. No, it's still there. It looks the same. And, you know.
Some of our vans are still there, I think.
Yes. There were squirrels living
in it and stuff by now.
Sure.
So, congratulations on your move.
Thank you. How have you been? How have you? The last time we had you in was, I don't know, a few months ago or something like that. Have you been good?
Been busy? I've been busy and good, yes. Traveling around, doing the stand-up comedy thing and doing some other stuff as well.
You are allegedly on a Peter Farrelly show, Louder Milk. I cannot confirm or verify that.
I can confirm that.
Okay.
It's called Louder Milk. Peter Farrelly is the co-creator and director. It's on DirecTV's Audience Network. Yeah, we just got.
Why am I not watching this show?
I don't know.
That's tough for us to say.
No. I know, but I feel like I feel like a big loser. Like I should have known about this.
Well, a lot of people don't know about it yet. Mm-hmm. We just got picked up for our third season. It's about substance abuse. It's a dark comedy, and it's a lot of fun to be on.
So, how are you as an actor, Brian?
I'm amazing. I'm an amazing
What do you
actor.
Expect him to say? Well, you haven't
Let's
done a lot of acting,
Let's get back to the smoldering
right?
ashes thing. That would be my acting career.
Look, everyone who's great at one thing is great at all things, and there are a lot of stand-ups. You know, you look at a Jim Carrey or something who makes the transition, becomes a great actor, and I don't know where Brian is on that, but are you pretty good?
Are you forgetting his Oscar-nominated role in Top 5?
I apparently am.
Give us a line. Your one line.
Put some stank on it.
Yes.
I played a radio producer.
DJ, yeah.
A radio producer.
That's right. That was the Chris Rock.
Chris
movie.
Rock. Yes.
Can I tell you something amazing about that? I was at a NBC party a couple weeks ago with producer Dave, and a gentleman who's pretty well known for some of his wonderful shows like Mr. Robot and Homecoming, Sam Ismail, said it's his favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Unbelievable. So we were like, well, we had Brian Regan in to do his one line, so that's was
crazy,
cool.
Man.
That's huge.
Well, it was, you know, a big thing for me to even be on that thing, and that was the only other acting I had ever done in my entire career was that 5-minute scene in that movie.
Oh. And then Loudermilk?
And then Loudermilk.
Wow.
That is impressive.
Peter Farrelly saw me do stand-up and said, hey, I've got this project I'm working on. Do you want to be on it? And in Hollywood, that means that you're never going to hear from the guy again.
Right. That's the brush-off.
Right, exactly. And then, like, a few days later, he called me. I'm like, what's this guy? What's this truth-teller?
What just happened?
Yeah. Why is he following through on this? That's not the way it works out here. And next thing I knew, I was in this thing. And, you know, it's fun to do the acting thing. I'd like to think I'm okay at it.
Yeah.
Do you, or forgive me if this is a dumb question, I don't know anything about acting and I'm certain I couldn't do it. Did you have a natural affinity for it, or is it something that you had to learn how to do, like crash course in learning how to act and to, you know, how to avoid looking foolish?
Did you hear his line? Put some stank in? Did you hear that?
No, he was great at that. Okay. He was fantastic at that. That was the role he was born to play.
Right,
now he may
right.
be playing something completely different on Loudermilk.
That's true.
How tough did you find it to do?
Well, what was weird is I had no idea if I had any ability whatsoever.
While doing it, even?
Well, when I showed up the first day, you know,
yeah,
it's like
of course.
The first day I showed up for the Loudermilk thing, we shot a scene that was supposed to take place in a homeless shelter.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to be reuniting with my daughter who I hadn't seen like in 10 years. Well, this is the first time I'm ever on a big shoot like this other than mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, that's a heavy scene to do.
Yeah, so we show up and I see all these people, and I didn't know if they were actual homeless people, you know, like if they were shooting in an actual homeless shelter, or
right.
if they were actors playing homeless people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, and they had all this food set up, and I didn't want to eat it because I didn't know if it was for... I'm like, if this is an actual homeless shelter, I don't want to go over there and be eating their food.
That's so kind of you.
Your mindset you're going through on the first day of shooting.
This is what I'm thinking the whole time. And I didn't want to ask. How do you ask
sure.
that? You go,
yeah,
are you a homeless person? Or are you an actor playing a homeless person? So the whole, I didn't know until the scene was over. No, everybody there was an actor.
Oh, my gosh.
And that food was for you, Brian. It was for all of us.
That's fantastic.
I was starving the whole shoot.
Loudermilk is on the AT&T Audience Network on DirecTV with Ron Livingston, by the way.
Yes.
As Brian mentioned, it has been renewed for a third season. We have to take a very quick break. You have a new Netflix, I had trouble with that, comedy show that is a sketch comedy show, which is fantastic, debuting on Christmas Eve.
Correct.
This sounds like something we haven't seen before.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it with our guest Brian Regan when we return right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Comedian Brian Regan in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about his new Netflix comedy show in just a minute. I need some advice from you, Brian.
Yes.
I'm getting my hair did today.
And I love the lady who cuts my hair. She's the only one I will allow it. But she cannot work and talk at the same time. Understand? She stops cutting. She stops doing whatever else she's doing if she's having a conversation with you. And she loves to talk. So it ends up taking like hours to get my hair cut. How do I go in there and be polite and not engage with her? How do I let her know I don't want to have much conversation because I don't want it to take all day?
Can
I
jump in?
Have you encountered anything like that before? Yes, Kevin.
Are there any other people that cut hair?
She's been doing my hair for the last 3 years, though, and she's really good at it, and I like her.
All right.
But I don't want it to turn into a marathon session.
And Ryan, you can't
just, I feel like we're friendly at this point, so right. I can't just go in there and ignore her or pretend that I don't want to, that I'm not going to talk to her because, you know, we like each other.
Well, a lot of people, myself included, when I get on a flight, and if I don't want to talk, I wear a big, giant set of, like, World War II headphones.
Right.
You know, like, and then that makes it clear to the person.
So that's your answer for a guy trying to get his hair cut?
Wear headphones, but yeah. You're going to have to live, she's going to have to cut around the headphones. So it might not be the best haircut, but at least you won't have to chat.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, that's good advice. So yes. Big giant World War II headphones.
World War II headphones. The kind on the aircraft carrier, you know, when the planes are coming in. That's what you got to wear when you don't want people to talk to you.
We've had conversations about this very topic where how do you get people to not talk to you and you wear headphones. And we took caller after caller after caller. We're like, people come up to you and start talking anyway.
Yes.
Even if you're wearing headphones, which is clearly a do not talk to me moment.
Mm-hmm. I've had a guy tap on my, on a plane, tap on the headphone. And I had to like lift it up. Like, yeah, he goes, are you headed to wherever we're going for business or pleasure?
That was his question. That's why he had to tap.
Oh my God.
I got a red light on and the whole thing, you know, like, and I was like, I don't know, you tried to shut the conversation down as quickly as possible, turn the music up loud.
Brian, have you ever sat
down? He was going to have none of my headphone technique.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. Have you ever sat down on a plane with somebody who turned out to be a huge Brian Regan fan?
I had a guy sitting in front of me who knew who I was, and that was the most awkward plane conversation ever, because you know how high up the plane seats go.
Right.
And he would, he was behind me. I'm sorry. He was behind me. And when
he would lean over your seat?
He was asking me questions, and I had to, like, push up and turn my head to answer him. You know, he'd be like, hey, have you ever met Rodney Dangerfield? And I'd have to like push, you know, kind of get up and turn. Well, a couple times, he's got a club in New York. And then I would slide back down like, maybe that was the last question. So do you travel a lot? Well, and I had to corkscrew my head for like a 4-hour flight.
It's like a workout.
Yeah, it was like the hardest interview I've ever done is sitting in front of someone facing the opposite direction.
I love it. How did Jerry Seinfeld come to produce your new Netflix sketch comedy show called Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan?
I've been honored that he has liked my comedy over the years, and he reached out to me and said that he wanted me to have a TV show, which is like one of the most amazing phone calls I've ever had in my life.
He just gives them out?
he does have that kind of power.
Did he have just a list that he was going through?
He does have that kind of power. That's what's so amazing about it. And when Seinfeld calls, that's like a 4-alarm, like if you're a firefighter and you run and you just slide down the pole.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I had this idea and I pitched it to him and he said, all right, let's do it, you know? And so we went into Netflix and told them the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of the coolest pitches ever, because I've got Jerry Seinfeld sitting next to me.
Sure.
And no matter what they ask me, all I have to do is turn and go, that's Jerry Seinfeld.
You understand who this guy is, right?
That's the answer to that question. He wants to do this. He says, well, how do you see this developing? That's Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld. He's sitting right next to me.
So what is the concept? No cars, no coffee, right?
Not on this one. It's a hybrid. It's a lot of my older stand-up routines, and those segue into pre-shot sketches in front of a live studio audience.
Awesome.
And
routines kind of come to life.
We don't shoot. The stand-up remains the stand-up. I never like to take stand-up and make a scene out of it. So the stand-up is the stand-up, and then we do sketches that had nothing to do with the stand-up, but there's a tangential relationship. I know that sounds very bizarre, but we use it as a segue to get into sketches.
Could I just say it sounds like Seinfeld?
Yes.
Just saying.
Well, at the beginning of his show, he would do stand-up.
Right.
And then after a couple of seasons...
Oh, he stopped doing it after a couple?
He stopped doing the stand-up part. And so...
Kevin, did you stop watching after the second season?
didn't realize?
Because I didn't like... I don't know. I don't remember, to be honest. That is interesting. Now, do you get some of your comedy friends to perform?
We have a lot of different people were involved in it, and
that's very specific, Brian.
Yes, but I'm being vague because some people we had to cut out because there was only so much time, and I don't remember the final cut. So I don't want to say names.
Give us one person that got cut out.
Robert De Niro.
Okay. Oh, that's too bad.
He didn't have it. You know what I mean?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right? Understood, Bob. All right, so four episodes, and they all drop on Christmas Eve?
Correct.
Is that a great time to drop new comedy, is on Christmas Eve?
I think so. I think Thanksgiving and Christmas are their big times.
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, okay.
Because you tend to be home. You don't want to talk to your family. You want to stay in a room and not deal with people.
And put on World War II headphones and then watch.
Well, a lot of it is because families are together. And
they want to watch together. That's
what she meant.
Yes.
Plus, this is what Seinfeld wanted.
Exactly what you meant.
Right, it's what Seinfeld wanted.
Exactly. All right.
It's called Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan.
And we'll change that name before it airs, but that sounds like a great idea for a special.
That's it as of now.
Right. The Netflix sketch comedy show Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan coming to Netflix on Christmas Eve, you guys. And if we didn't mention, produced by Jerry Seinfeld. All right. Have yourself a fantastic 2019. Thank you so much for finding the building today. We will move before we see you again, Brian, but we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you all very much.
You bet.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Allie is here to send us home with lots of positive news in what's happening.
Well, positive if you like murder.
Yay! Well,
who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Netflix has ordered Conversations with the Killer. The Ted Bundy Tapes. It's a four-part series that's going to feature previously unheard audio interviews with Bundy while he was on death row in Florida. It's going to premiere next month on the 24th. That's 30 years after the date of his execution in Florida.
I did not remember that he was executed in Florida.
I mean, it seems like it makes sense. It's on brand. Bean, have you ever been to the Museum of Death in New Orleans?
I have not.
I have.
What?
I have been there.
Look, I've...
How have you not?
It. I know. I've thought about it many times because it's in the French Quarter and I try to stay out of the French Quarter as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But at some point, maybe even over the holidays, I'll make it. Is it all about serial killers and whatnot?
I enjoyed it, yeah. So they have the Dr. Kevorkian machine there, which is their big item. That's like their pregnant giraffe, one might say.
That's their April.
Yeah, that's their April. They have a bunch of stuff. I mean, I was like watching this video about 9/11, and then I looked down at my watch. I was like, I've been watching this for an hour, and I was like, I got to get out of here.
Wow!
But they do have they have a lot of stuff. A lot of correspondence from serial killers. They have I think they have a Gacy painting.
All right.
Wow, that's not interesting at all to me. That sounds like the opposite of what I would go to.
You have a Gacy painting, Bean?
We don't really need to get into that again at the holiday season, but I got a couple of them. I think of him as being a Washington State serial killer because that's where most of his victims were, so I assumed that's where he was tried. But
so
I
you
guess,
have an affinity for him?
I guess he killed in Florida, too. Mm. Isn't he the most prolific serial killer, or one of all time? Yeah. Although that guy that they're investigating right now is up over 30.
Yeah, they're saying he can get to 90.
Yeah.
They better leave space at the museum.
So this is the uplifting kind of news we were promised.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
You're welcome. What about a scripted series about Tejano music superstar Selena, who unfortunately was murdered? But Netflix has ordered that. And her whole family was on board to assist in the development, and they're going to executive produce the project. So,
I know how it ends.
Okay.
We do.
Moving on.
President worst, of her fan club.
Worst fan club president ever, first of all.
Absolutely.
Second of all, great movie. And wasn't that, was that Jennifer Lopez?
J-Lo, yeah.
That was kind of her big breakout, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Call now.
Well, Kevin, we haven't had any updates today on the royal family.
Yeah, I'm really jonesing.
Just know that Meghan Markle has again
broken royal fashion protocol. It's like
that makes me happy.
Learn.
That makes me happy, though. No.
Royal baby.
So she was at the 2018 British Fashion Awards in London, and she was wearing this stunning Givenchy gown, her blossoming bump. Mm-hmm. But all people are talking about are her dark nails. That's right, dark nail polish. How dare you, Meghan Markle? How dare you?
Is that against protocols?
Of course, being everything is.
It's a no-go for royals to have a dark nail color.
What colors are you supposed to be restricted to? Just like pastels?
I imagine like pinks and maybe.
How do we know? Are you not your stupid queen?
I would say anything that's not a color. I would think red would probably be, I mean, because that just means you're full of sin.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're a tramp if you're wearing red
nail
polish.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
So people are going bonkers?
And people are going bonkers. Also, panic.
So everything else has been handled?
Everything else is handled.
Okay, good.
No big deal with Brexit or...
No,
England's fine.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They're not having any sort of vote today, so they're fine.
Good to hear.
Meanwhile, the internet also panicked after Madame Tussauds in Berlin unveiled two new wax creations designed to look like Meghan and Harry. The verdict? Creepy.
Really?
Unsettling.
What a surprise.
Inaccurate. Terrifying. Those were just a few of the adjectives.
Bonkers.
Those are the good Yelp reviews.
Those are the good ones.
I think it's tough to get a wax figure. I mean, there are very few people who are talented enough to make them really look like the
and
person.
None of them are doing it.
Right.
No, some of them are. Mm. Occasionally you do see them that are great.
But the people who look like they're wax figures are people who look like wax. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good
point. It's like chicken or the egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eminem looks like he's made of wax now. I think he'd be a great wax figure.
They'd be like, nailed it.
Or Cher. Yeah. Cher
and
looks like
just sure. Eminem. He's like, no, I'm just standing here. I was taking a tour.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. You guys, do you find that you're a bit more, how should I say, a bit more randy in the winter months?
Who uses the word randy?
Well, horny. Do you find yourself more horny in the winter?
I don't know that my penis has a season.
Kevin is a year-round sex machine.
I don't know.
It's all been worth it.
I've never really.
Good night, everybody.
You're not going to beat it with the story.
No way. Multiple stuff. Oh, the smatter. Oh. Hold on. Let's let him finish. I mean, the
Thank
applause.
You, Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good response. Good response.
Is it though? Is it a good response?
Doesn't
Listen
sound
close.
Like a great
it's
response.
The worst smatter.
It's six. It's three people.
Gotta check that out.
It's the emptiest applause.
Yeah.
Giddy up.
You really don't have to wait, Allie. You can keep going.
Because it's going to keep going.
It's going to keep going no matter what.
They're very happy with Kevin's penis not having a season.
Where was that story going?
Okay. Multiple studies have shown it's normal to feel
slightly hornier
during the winter because CDC data shows that more babies are born in July and August than any other months.
It's cuddling months.
And they're saying that they have found that the winter shifts...
Thank you, everybody. Please, we have a story going on.
The winter shifts in daylight length actually lead to a better environment for eggs in women, and men produce higher quality, you know, swimmers during this time.
Thank you, everybody. Please.
I would think you're at. I don't know. I would think you're at home more because it gets dark earlier. No,
right? And the holidays, a lot of people in huge fights, and then some makeup boning.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Yeah.
Plus, colder months, you're just inherently cuddlier and closer.
Okay.
Not Kevin. His penis doesn't have a season. I loved it so much. Some birthdays for you. Maureen Bialik, Regina Hall, Bill Nighy, Jennifer Connelly, Bob Barker, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. And your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Thank you guys so much. Take care and much love.